Welcome, Ken Cruz. Ken, it's good to have you back. God bless you. Amen. Amen. After a long battle, but the Lord is touching him and healing him. And so we thank the Lord for that. And give Kathy our regards, if you will, our hellos. Nice to see everyone today. nice, beautiful day out there, wasn't it? Yeah. It just looked great. And then I went out to the car and it was frozen. It's that kind of day you'd like to just get in the car, nice warm car, and then drive somewhere like Maui or something like that. Anyway, thank you for coming this morning and being a part of the service. I'm going to thank Eddie for the last couple of weeks. He's preached some excellent messages from the book of Peter on the righteousness of God and the holiness of God. And he's going to do one more segment of that next Sunday. We'll also have communion, but I ask if I could speak this morning. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles with you or your iPhones or whatever you use to see the Word of the Lord, it'll also be on the screen. But it's one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to be in chapter 3. But I want to talk this morning on the subject of dealing with disappointment. Dealing with disappointment. And we're going to be in Habakkuk first, and then we're going to jump to 2 Timothy. And so, again, the scriptures will be on the screen as well if you didn't bring a Bible with you. I think most everyone has had to deal with disappointment in some way or another in their life. And maybe I could say everyone, but I don't know that. But I think most everyone has. Whether it's a disappointment with a friend or a family member, whether it's a disappointment with a business, maybe a business you do business with all the time. Disappointment seems to be part of the human condition. I think most everyone has at one time or another been disappointed by someone, maybe close to you, someone that's dear to you. And the first part of this message is going to deal with those times that perhaps you have even been disappointed with God. Disappointed with maybe the fact that God did or did not answer a prayer. Maybe he didn't answer it like we wanted him to and brought disappointment. Or maybe we feel like he didn't answer at all and we were disappointed. And that's okay. One of my favorite authors is Philip Yancey. Not everyone enjoys Philip's writing, but I really do. And one of his most popular books that he wrote is entitled Disappointment with God. And in it, Yancey goes through some of his upbringing in church and his disappointments that he discovered in church, and then getting away from the Lord and coming back to the Lord, and even disappointment with God and how he dealt with those times that he felt like God had let him down. Here, our question this morning that I want to deal with is, how do we deal with disappointment? How do we deal with disappointment? Matter of fact, you might be sitting here, and right now, I've spoken for about 60 seconds, and you're already disappointed with me. Because you were really hoping I would preach on something wonderful, like, everybody ought to go buy a lottery ticket because I guarantee you're going to win. Well, maybe you're disappointed with the subject of my message. I really don't think you are, but who knows? Disappointments can come in little packages or they can come in big packages. They can come in little packages. You show up for church and go to the donut table and your favorite maple bar is gone. And you're disappointed. And maybe you even blame God for that. But don't blame God. That's not his fault. Blame Sally. She has nothing to do with the donuts anymore, but it's just been so fun blaming Sally all these years, right? And Sally, for those who are visiting, she's our longtime secretary and a close friend of Cheryl and I, is a dear friend. I won't have her wave at you, but she's sitting over there in like the third row. But anyway, disappointment can come in small things like that, and we get over those quickly. Or they come in big packages, like the elections, and your candidate did not get elected, and that's a disappointment to you. Or they can be small little things, like your children or grandchildren get disappointed when you're not able to take them to the playground like you said you were. You tried, but you weren't able to do that, so they're disappointed. But children are a great example of how to deal with disappointment, because they get over it really quick, right? It is amazing what an ice cream will do to cure disappointment. And then they come in big packages. Like, you knew for sure when you took that test, it was going to come back negative. But sad to say, it was positive. And you have an illness or disease in your body that you did not want. And you just knew for sure that God was going to take care of that. And God didn't. And you're disappointed. And maybe that disappointment has continued. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with those times when God just doesn't seem to show up? Well, one thing for sure, Habakkuk deals with that. But I want to make this statement. I'm going to read it because I want to make sure that I get it right. Because I believe this. I'm sure that in my life, me, Ed Statton's life, I have disappointed far more people than people have disappointed me. And I'm sure that in my life, I can't speak to yours, but in my life, I'm sure I have disappointed God a whole lot more than he has disappointed me. So I'm going to put that blame right where it goes. You see, perhaps you feel just the opposite. Maybe you feel right now that, no, I've not disappointed God, but God's disappointed me over and over and over and over again. Or maybe you feel, no, I haven't disappointed people, but people have sure disappointed me, and I'm keeping a list, and I'm checking it twice, and I'm going to find out, well, you know. Maybe you feel as if more people have disappointed you than you have disappointed people. And maybe this morning you feel like Philip Yancey. You feel a disappointment with God. See, we're all in the same boat as we travel through this life. Disappointments will come, but it's how we deal with those disappointments that can be the key to victory in our lives. Just like Joseph in the book of Genesis that we won't go into today, but we certainly could. Just like Joseph of old, who went through so many disappointments in his life. If you read that story, you understand that. But at the end of the day, he said this to his brothers, who had disappointed him. You meant it for evil, but God intended it for good. How many believe today with me that God can turn our disappointments into victory if we'll let him? Amen? He can do that. He can do that. Even if it involves God himself, or even if it involves friends or family members. So we look at the book of Habakkuk, and we're going to be in chapter 3. But let me give you a little background. Habakkuk was what we call one of the minor prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, those are the major prophets because the volume of the work, of their writings. The minor prophets are called that not because they're less important, but because their writing was smaller. The book of Habakkuk has three chapters in it. And basically, Habakkuk was a prophet who God had spoken to and said that I'm going to judge Judah. the nation of Judah. Judah has done wickedly. Judah is terrible. The people of Judah, the leaders of Judah had corrupted God's system. They had taken advantage of people. They had turned the country into a mess. And God says, I'm going to bring judgment on Judah. And God would tell Habakkuk, I'm going to use a foreign nation to do it. And I'm going to use the Babylonians, one of the most powerful nation, or the most powerful nation in existence at that time. And I'm going to use them. They're going to come in and they're going to bring judgment to Judah because of Judah's sin, because of how Judah has been living. And everyone's going to be affected by that. But God waited. And Habakkuk looks to God and says, okay, where's your judgment? The people are continuing to be abused. The people, the poor, are being rejected. And the wealthy are taking advantage of them. Many of them are. And the politics in Judah are terrible and it's corrupt. And he goes on and lists all these things. And as you read through it, you almost think you're reading the newspaper or online news about America today. What a disappointment. And if we think America's going to avoid the judgment that other nations have had because of their sin, we are vastly mistaken unless America repents and comes back to the Lord. Amen? We need to be sure that we are praying for America. I love America. It's one of the greatest honors of my life is to be able to say I'm an American citizen. But God's judgment is sure and it's fair. And I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying this. There's a lot of corrupt things going in our nation today. There's a lot of things. And it goes all the way from the innocent unborn to the elderly and on and on. And God is patient, but judgment will come. And so we need to be praying as Christians that God will turn things around so that people will turn back to God. Amen? And I believe really that's the answer, is for people to turn back to God. So we may even be disappointed as Habakkuk was and might say, Lord, where is your judgment? It should have already come. And so Habakkuk says to the Lord, and this won't be on the screen, but he says in verse 2, he said, I'm going to go to my watchtower and I'm going to look and see what the Lord will say to me. And what the Lord speaks to him is one of the most famous verses of the Old Testament where God says to Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. It is the verse that prompted the Protestant Reformation by Martin Luther. The just shall live by faith. It's not by our works, but the just shall live by faith. That we have faith in God even though our surroundings confuse us and we're not sure why God is doing what he's doing. The just shall live by faith. That's verse 4 of chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, he says, Lord, I've heard your speech. Revive your works in the midst of the years. That's verse 2. He says, bring revival to us. That's the answer for Judah. Now that didn't happen, but that was Habakkuk's prayer. And I believe that as Christians, our prayer for our nation needs to be, God, bring revival to America. Let it start with the churches. Let it start with the religious leaders. Let it start with us, the Christians who attend church every Saturday or Sunday or whenever we attend. Lord, bring revival to America. Start with our young. Start with our old. All of us need to be revived. Amen? And then at the end of the book of Habakkuk, and this is where I'm going, Habakkuk concludes this. He's disappointed with God. He's disappointed with God because God hasn't answered like Habakkuk feels he should. Wow. How I've gotten in that boat once in a while. How about you? Disappointed that God didn't answer like I wanted him to. But Habakkuk, let me remind you of what God spoke to you. The just shall live by faith. You've got to have faith in God. You've got to trust a God you don't understand. And so Habakkuk says this at the end of his book, and let me read it, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. What Habakkuk just described is the worst economical conditions you could have in Judah. Look at it again. Fig tree may not blossom. There's no blossom, so that means there's no figs. And to that agricultural society, that means we're not going to have anything to eat or to sell. Nor fruit be on the vines. That's talking about the grapes. We'll have no means by which to produce wine for our sacrifices. We'll have nothing to be able to sell for other goods. Though the labor of the olive may fail, there'll be no olives. So we have no olive oil. We can't present sacrifices to the Lord. We can't offer offerings because they can't be anointed with oil. And we have no oil for our cooking, etc., or for selling, or for our lamps. The fields yield no food. We don't have any wheat. We don't have any oats. We don't have any corn. We don't have any grain. The flock may be cut off from the fold. We don't have any goats. We don't have any cattle. There'll be no herd in the stalls. You can't find a description more depressing than that right there on the condition of Judah. It's the worst conditions they had ever experienced. Many of you are too young to remember what some of us older can remember about our nation and some of the tough economic times we've been in and gone through as a nation. I'm too young. I love to say that. I'm too young to remember the economic conditions that my grandmother went through, that she told me about being in Oklahoma and the Dust Bowl and the collapse of the stock market and all of those things, and safeguards weren't there, and you couldn't get medical care, and there was no milk to be had for the babies, and on and on and on. Some of you are too young to remember that, and yet you that are younger are going through some of the most economically challenging times our nation has known right now, and it'll continue to be that way unless we get control of our deficits. And I'm not being political. I'm being realistic. There may come a time, although it doesn't look like it right now, because pretty much we can go out and get whatever we want, and I thank God for that, but there may come a time when the description Habakkuk has given might fit our condition, and maybe it's already there. Yet Habakkuk said, I don't understand why God hasn't intervened. I don't understand why these things are so bad, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of salvation, for the Lord God will be my strength. Through the hardest of times, God is going to be my strength. Now, Habakkuk was disappointed that God hadn't intervened. And maybe some of you are disappointed in God because God hasn't intervened for you. But what is the answer? Habakkuk says, I may not understand everything that's going on, but what I know is, number one, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to keep the rejoicing going. I'm going to keep praising the Lord. I'm going to keep honoring the Lord. I'm going to keep worshiping the Lord. I will have joy in the God of my salvation. There has to be joy in serving Jesus, and God is my strength. When I don't have any strength of my own, God is going to be my strength. Hallelujah. Through the disappointing times, God is going to be my strength. So when you're disappointed with God, what do? I believe the key to that answer is found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And most of you maybe know it by heart, and it says this. When you're disappointed with God, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord. Is it on the screen? Yeah, let's all read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Can you say amen? Trust in the Lord. Know that God. How can I trust in the Lord when I'm so disappointed in Him? Well, the just shall live by faith and not by sight. I'm not to trust the Lord by what I see. I'm to trust the Lord by faith to know that God is working things to my good. Paul reiterates that in the book of Romans when he says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, he didn't say all things are good, because not all things are good. There's some pretty bad things happen. But God can turn those things around to our good if we will trust Him. But we have to trust the Lord. So, how do we deal with disappointment with God? We trust the Lord. We trust that He knows what He's doing. We pray that He will revive us. We pray God will restore the joy in our hearts toward following the Lord. I can't think of anything more miserable than being mad at God all the time. Just being mad at God all the time. I can hardly handle it in our younger marriage days when I was mad at Cheryl. Didn't happen very often, but I remember one day it did. We were newlyweds and I got mad. I don't even remember what she did. I'm sure it was her fault. And the Bible has a proverb that says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And this young married pastor got angry very quickly, and I dealt foolishly. You've heard the story, some of you, but I'll retell it, because after 70, you can retell a story. So I got mad. I left our parsonage. I walked down to the high school. I started jogging, running laps. I was angry. I was mad. I was disappointed. And pretty soon, here comes Cheryl. I think it was over dinner. And here comes Cheryl. And as I'm running laps, she's coming, and I'm thinking to myself, ah, that'll teach her. She's going to apologize. telling this story. Anyway, the closer I got, though, I saw the tears, and I felt like a heel. And she got on the track, and before she could even say anything, I embraced her and I said, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I am so sorry. I didn't give her a chance because it wasn't her fault. It was mine. I said, I'm so sorry. Can you forgive me? And we hugged and we kissed. And then we headed back to walk the couple blocks to the church. And so we got to the little parsonage and I said, well, I'm sorry I left. You made dinner. It was so nice. And I just got angry. I shouldn't have. But I said, where's dinner? She said, well, sorry about that. I ate and it was good and it's gone now. Wow. What could I say? He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. My point is, I was disappointed. She was disappointed at me. But we didn't let it stay. We trusted each other, we loved each other, and we moved on. But I learned a valuable lesson. You eat what's set before you. And you don't leave in a huff. Or you might just not have dinner that night. But anyway, I don't know if that related, but I love telling that story. So we trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We don't lean onto our understanding. So, before I move to my next point, if you're here today and you're disappointed with God, don't feel like you're the only one. I've certainly been disappointed with God before. I don't know how many times God has healed people in our church through the years. We had one man who's gone to be with the Lord now. He had crippling arthritis. We prayed for him one morning. He came back the next week and said, I don't know what happened, but my fingers now can work like they were brand new. And he was a mechanic. He said, all the arthritis is gone. It was a great healing. As most of you know, Sharina, our daughter, was diagnosed with Reye syndrome when she was about 2 years old. And she was seconds from death at the hospital in a coma. The liver enzymes had attacked her body, her brain, everything. The doctor was ready to walk in and tell us our little girl would die. And instantly, she woke up, stood up, and started pulling at all the tubes. God completely healed her as a baby and spared our daughter's life. I believe in healing. I believe God can do that. And yet there's been many times God has not healed. And one of my greatest disappointments in God, with all the miracles that he did for my children, he has not yet healed my son and daughter of their hearing impairment. Both of them have hearing impairments and have to use hearing aids. And my disappointment is, God, why, if you can do all those things and heal other people, we've had people healed of deafness, why haven't you healed my own children? And yet, if I'm going to preach it, I've got to stand on it. I've got to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, for he will direct my paths. Amen, Eddie. Amen, Sharina. Amen. You've got to trust the Lord. So I'm living what I'm talking about. I've lived what I'm talking about. There are times that maybe we are disappointed with God. But God's big enough to handle that. And he still loves us. And you know what Cheryl didn't do when she was disappointed with me that day in Myrtle Point, our first church? She didn't kick me out and say, I never want to see you again. She came to where I was. And that's what God does. He doesn't kick us out when we're disappointed with him. He comes where we are and embraces us and loves us. That's what God does. Amen? Amen? We trust in the Lord. So Habakkuk says, verse 19, he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high mountains. He says, somehow God's going to help me get a better vantage point of this. But what about people? What happens when we are disappointed with people? Well, Pastor, we've never been disappointed with people. I have. I've been disappointed with people. And people have been disappointed with me. And let me go back to how we deal with this with God. Just because we get disappointed with someone, we don't kick them out. And just because someone's disappointed with me, I trust that they won't kick me out. But they'll forgive and help work through that. One of the most powerful names in the New Testament, other than Jesus, is the Apostle Paul. Wrote most of the New Testament. Incredible story of conversion. I came out of that grave, that song that the worship team led us. That is Paul's life. That's the life of the Apostle Paul. For those who are new in the faith or just looking into the faith, Paul was originally called Saul. He hated Christians. He couldn't stand Jesus. He got letters of imprisonment. He arrested people. He killed them. He put them in prison. He couldn't stand Christians. They were a threat to his orthodoxy. They were a threat to his way of life. He was a very staunch, pious Jewish leader, and he hated them. And according to the book of Acts, on his way to Damascus to arrest people for being Christians, God showed up, and he fell off his horse, blinding light, and he heard the Lord say, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul? It's like you're kicking against sharpened sticks. What's going on with you?" And he was blinded, and he stayed that way for a number of days. And God spoke to a man, Ananias, and said, "I want you to go pray for him." And Ananias knew that he was the guy that arrested Christians. And he was hesitant to go, but he obeyed the Lord, and he went, and he laid hands on him, prayed for him, the scales came off. And Saul was a believer. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ and changed completely. He came out of that grave, amen? Came out of that grave and became an apostle extraordinaire. So if anybody, you'd think if anybody in the New Testament had it together, it would be Paul. And yet, in the passage that I'm going to read to you, it's really a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor. He shows and shares some of the intimate moments or some of the intimate feelings that he had with his disappointment with people. So let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 9. He writes to Timothy, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." He's in prison when he writes these words. He's in prison for the Lord. He now is a prisoner himself. And he will eventually die as a prisoner for Jesus' sake. Verse 10. And he begins to list a number of people by name. He says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." Demas has forsaken me. You can hear the disappointment in Paul's letter. Demas was a close friend. He was a fellow worker. But Demas, it looks like, was kind of shallow and went back to the old life, the old world. And you can feel Paul's disappointment. Maybe you've had a friend that disappointed you. Maybe you had a fellow Christian who served the Lord with you and then turned and went back to the world and is no longer a Christian. And that disappointed you. That's the situation with Demas. And then he goes on and says, Crescens has left for Galatia and Titus for Dalmatia. They didn't leave the Lord, but they left Paul. And you can feel the disappointment. Here when I needed them the most, they left. They left. Maybe that's happened with you. Maybe people that were with you and helping support you during a hard time in your life, and somebody up and moved away. Or maybe they decided to attend another church. Or maybe they moved out of the neighborhood and you felt abandoned. Disappointed. And then in verse 11, he says, "Only Luke is with me." Luke remained. Luke was who wrote the words of the book of Acts and the book of Luke. He said, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." So I have to have someone help take the place of those who have left me. Verse 12, "Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." So I had to send him because he had to report to Ephesus what was going on. Verse 13, "Bring the coat or the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, and especially the parchments." So Paul is just writing this intimate letter. In today's vernacular, he's sending an email or he's posting a text. And he's saying, "This is what I need. Bring the parchments, bring the books." Verse 14. And then he said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works." Now, stop there for a moment and hear Paul's words. He's disappointed at Demas. He's disappointed at Christians. He's disappointed at a number of people. And then he commends a couple of people. And then he says, "But Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm." And here's the words of a disappointed man. And it's unlike Paul. Remember, Paul is the one in Ephesians that said, "Be loving, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you." But Paul is hurting. He's in prison. He's disappointed. People have left him. And now he says of Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much harm. But instead of saying, the Lord forgive him, he says, may the Lord repay him according to his works. This is the expression of a man who is disappointed and he's been hurt. And he says, I'll fix him. Lord, repay him. Make him suffer. If you've ever read the Psalms, there are some Psalms in the book of Psalm where David is beside himself and he's so upset with people and he says, Lord, kill him. Give him a bad disease. Let him suffer. And you're thinking right now, what? David? The sweet shepherd of Israel? The psalmist of Israel? The man after God's own heart? Even the best of Christians can sometimes make the mistake of wanting God to punish those who disappoint us. Come on. I know this is depressing, but it's what I really feel the Lord wants us to hear right now. And I'll bring it back. I'll get us encouraged in a moment. But the truth is, Paul is at a weak moment. He's hurting. And he's biting. And maybe that's happened with you. I know it's happened with me. I have an old expression. I don't know that it's unique with me, but I'd never heard it before. But I used it years ago. Hurting dogs bite. And I know that's true. Because I had a little dachshund, you've heard the story, got hit by a car on the farm. I went and grabbed that little dog who slept at my feet. He licked my face. He was my favorite. I could do no wrong, but once I reached down to grab him off the road, he bit me. And I heard those words, hurting dogs bite. He didn't bite me because he hated me. He bit me because he was hurting so bad. And see, that's sometimes when people disappoint us, we start hurting so bad, we bite. We say things we shouldn't say. We react. We do things we shouldn't do. And that's what's happened with Paul. He's hurting. You don't point it, and he reaches out. That happens in marriages. And maybe it's happened in your marriage. And you that have been married a long, long time, like Cheryl and I have, you understand that you deal with that. You don't let that part you. You don't let that put a wedge. You deal with that. And you apologize. And you kiss and make up. And you do your best not to let it happen again. You that are younger in your marriages, maybe you haven't got... You're still struggling with that. But I want to tell you this from an old-timer right now. The quicker you forgive, the quicker you release that person from the grudge, the more happier your relationship will be. And I don't care if it's her fault or his fault, anybody's fault. It doesn't matter. Get that thing taken care of. Amen? Get that thing taken care of. Like the old timer said, married 70 years. What do you attribute to the longevity of your marriage? Well, two things. One, when we got in a disagreement, I took a walk. And the second, lots of fresh air. So every time they got in a disagreement, he got fresh air. The truth is, though, when we're hurting, we say things we shouldn't say. And that's Paul right here. Now, lest we be discouraged, let me show you something. Verse 15, you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. He's still talking about Alexander. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. And then all of a sudden, he said, he's disappointed. Everyone's forsaken me. But look what he says at the end of verse 16. May it not be charged against them. He realizes all of a sudden, I can't do that. I'm the man who, in Ephesians, taught people to forgive. And that's what I've got to do. So now, Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Forgive them. Paul had a relapse, and then he quickly came back to his senses. How do we deal with disappointment with people? Because inevitably, you're going to be disappointed by someone. We must be quick to forgive. And how can we do that? Our example is Jesus, and I'm going to end with this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." If anybody had a right to be disappointed at people, it was Jesus. The very people he died for put him on a cross. The very people that he died for spat on him, humiliated him. The very people who he died for on the cross cheered and clapped that he was giving, that he was dying on a cross. And that's why one of the most powerful statements Jesus made on the cross was, "Father, what? Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And that's how we deal with people who disappoint us, is we look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despised the shame, and he didn't reject those people who did so much bad to him. But he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I'm convinced when people disappoint us, that's what the attitude we have to have. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I don't want them to do it again, but people are people. I would hope that when I disappoint someone, I would want them to forgive me. Because I certainly wouldn't want to do it on purpose. And I think for the most part, people don't set out to disappoint other people. It just happens. And maybe they're hurting. And maybe you've been disappointed by someone. And maybe it was because they were hurting so bad. So let's follow in the example of Jesus and the Apostle Paul when he came to his senses. And let's forgive them. And move on. Keep our friendships intact. Keep our relationships intact. And trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And don't lean to our own understanding. We may never understand some of these things, but we can still trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Good job.
Well, thank you, Cindy. I'm really not looking for that. I'm trying to think how I want to wrap this. Football game on today, isn't there? I see that hand. Disappointed. Can we just bow our heads for a moment in reverence toward this moment in the Lord? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands at all, but I am going to ask each of us to look in our heart of hearts. And this may not apply to everyone today, but maybe it applies to some. Are you disappointed with someone today? Could be your husband or wife. Could be your kids. Could be your mom and dad. Could be your pastor. Could be that teller at the bank. Could be a neighbor. If you're dealing with that disappointment today, could we put that in the hands of the Lord today? Could we say, "Lord, forgive them. Forgive them. Maybe they were hurting when they said what they said. Maybe they were hurting when they did what they did. But Lord, forgive them. Help me, Lord, to be able to extend the hand of grace. Even if that hand's not given to me, let me extend the hand of grace. Help me to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And don't lean to my own understanding. But in all my ways acknowledge you, and you will direct my paths." And part of that path will be forgiveness. And maybe, Lord, there's one or two or three here that are pretty disappointed with God. And if you're here today and you're disappointed with God, I ask you to do what Habakkuk did. And that is to go to your watchtower and say, I'll wait and see what the Lord speaks to me. And I believe that what you will hear is the Lord saying to you, I want you to walk by faith and not by sight. You don't understand everything that's going on right now. But I do want you to know I've got everything under control. And you can trust me. So Lord, you see our hearts today. You see why this message you put on my heart to speak. I don't know who needed to hear this. I certainly know that I needed to hear it, even though I preached it. But I ask you, Lord, to just minister to hearts that have been hurt today. Because disappointment does hurt. It does sting. It can leave a mark. But Lord, you can bring healing. You can bring healing to relationships, to marriages. Lord, you can bring healing to our hurts. And I commit all of these things to you right now. And I ask you to touch anyone here today who needs the healing touch of Jesus in this area. And I thank you, Lord, for the courage to be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Father, forgive them. And forgive me if I've done something to disappoint someone else. Please, Lord, forgive me and help others to forgive me as well. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for his word today. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you for coming to church today. God bless you. And if not before, we'll see you next Sunday. We'll have communion. Eddie will speak. And enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you.